And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Isaiah, Old Testament book, in chapter 45, or follow along, I believe they're going to have it on the screen. Isaiah chapter 45, and beginning at verse 18, reading through the end of the chapter there. For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come, assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what it is to be, present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult, or they will boast in him. Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us as we met here in this place this morning. And we just invite the Holy Spirit to come and to guide every word that we say. God, what is on your heart today? What would you want to say to us? Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. We commit this to you. I ask that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that your will is done today here on earth, in this service as it is in heaven. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. Amen and amen. As you saw in your bulletin, we're going to share some thoughts about this idea of God's integrity. And we see that word mentioned there in verse 23. But after surveying thousands of individuals, it was found that the most desired characteristics of a leader were honesty and integrity. These were identified more frequently than any other trait or quality. That makes sense, doesn't it? As we look to our leaders in government, within the realm of the church, wherever, in business, that we would have people that would walk in integrity and honesty, and not to be deceiving in any way whatsoever. But if people are going to follow someone, whether into battle or in business or in ministry, they want the assurance that their leader can be trusted. If you follow anyone in business, as it says, in ministry, in government, whatever it may be, we want to believe that our leaders can be people that can be trusted. And as I told the first service this morning, as I read that early this morning, my mind went to the fact is that this is speaking to us as husbands. Husbands, we are to be the spiritual head of the home. We are to be representative of integrity and honesty. This is how we are to lead our house. This is how we are to lead and would desire our family, our wives, our children to follow us, because we can be found or to be men, fathers, husbands that walk and live in integrity, be faithful, be honest in all that we do, and that we share that trait, we share that those qualities with our family, our kids, as they grow up. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed or respected is better than silver or gold. Wouldn't it be nice to be known as a person of character? Be nice to be known as a person of integrity, whether we're man or woman, young or old, that is one of the things that people see in us, integrity. And that's one of the qualities they may admire in us, is our integrity, our honesty. People want to know that he or she will keep promises and follow through with commitments. They're true to the word. Are you true to your word? Am I true to mine? Do we mean what we say? Jesus addressed the religious leaders in his day when he was confronted. And he said, you people honor me with your lips. I mean, you say good things, but then your actions don't back up your words. You give me lip service. We're talking something above and beyond mere lip service, something that sounds good. It's that old saying, everybody can talk a good game, but our lives show it. We live our lives out. Do they see fruit in our lives? Do they see godly traits, godly qualities in our lives? Or do we just talk a good game, but that we live our lives out in ways that honor and please God, and that people see something different in me, something different in you? Promises and commitments are significant. They can never become optional or options, nor can they be changed at will when times get tough for the sake of convenience. That we make a promise or a commitment to someone, and then something else happens, and it really is not convenient for us to follow through with our promise or our commitment. That's what that's talking. These things are not optional. If you make a promise or you make a commitment to someone, then you need to honor that promise or commitment. We're seeing that today. We're seeing that in the marriage relationships. If you're married, when you were married, you made commitments to your spouse. You committed and you promised to love, honor, and cherish them. You promised to them to be faithful through the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, when you feel like it or you don't feel like it. You made a commitment to your spouse. Maybe you make commitments to your children. Maybe your kids make commitments to you. Whatever, we need to be people of integrity, of honesty, where we make a promise, where we make a commitment, we follow through with that promise or commitment. Promises and commitments are important to people. If you make a promise or a commitment to an individual, honor that. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes, by choice, we may choose not to, but sometimes things happen that we just absolutely can't. And sometimes people are disappointed in the fact that we haven't followed through with our promise or commitment. Promises and commitments are important to God. In fact, he would rather you not make one to him than to make one and break it. God takes your promise or your commitment to him very serious. In Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, keep the vows you made to the Most High. Keep the vows that you made. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5 from the New Living Translation says, "When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it." Sometimes we find ourselves in situations. Sometimes we find ourselves in a mess. And we go to God and we say, "God, if you get me out of this mess, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go, as long as it's not XYZ. But we make God promises. We make God commitments. We give Him a condition. "God, if you do this, I will do this." Sometimes we find ourselves, we can get ourselves in messes that we create ourselves. But even we find ourselves in a mess, we blame God for it when it's our own stupidity, our own mistakes. We don't think things through, but we find ourselves there. We want God to get us out of that mess, out of that jam. And we make a promise. And we get rescued out of that, but then quickly we forget our promise or commitment. What this verse is telling us is, don't make a promise to God that you don't intend to keep. Don't make a commitment to God that you don't intend to keep, because you know before you make it, you're going to keep it or not. Whatever you promise God, whatever you commit to God, have integrity that you're going to keep it. God takes every promise He has made to us seriously. He never makes a promise or commitment that He does not keep. In verse 23 of our text that we read from the New Living Translation says, "I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word." That is such an awesome promise. God says, "I've made you promises. I make a promise to you," whatever that promise is. And this book is a complete list of His promises. And God, as God has made a promise to us, He says, "I will never, never revoke one of those promises. I will never go back on my word to you." That's integrity. That is honesty. That is truthfulness. That is faithfulness. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians that faithful is He who calls, who will also do it. God never makes a promise that He does not intend to keep. And we ought to honor Him and praise Him for that. As we read through chapters 45 and 46 of Isaiah, we see the integrity of God come through. God sets the standard. He sets the bar when He declares, "I am the Lord, I am God, there is no other." I'm not sure whether you took note as we were reading through these verses how many times God declared that. "I am God. There is no one else. There is no one like me. There is no other." He repeated that at least three times in those verses. I believe that God is wanting us to get hold of something. I believe God is making a statement that He wants you and I, His people, to take notice to. We read through the Gospels where it says, when it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," He's saying, "Hey, give me your attention. Listen to what I'm about to say. Give me both ears. Don't be divided. Don't give me just one. Give me both ears and listen to what I'm saying." And this is what He's saying here. This is what He's conveying or trying to get across to us, that He is God. There is no one like Him. No one. No one can do what He can do. No one is like Him in any way that we could even compare Him to. In verse 20, God addresses the truth about these idols, these wood of idols. In 20, He says, "Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save, ignorant, deceived people, uninformed people, misinformed people, people who lack understanding, follow these idols. They worship these idols. And the Bible says that they cannot save. Back in Psalm 115, we find the words where they pretty much describe what God just said there. And in chapter 115 of Psalm, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses they cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." Idols, false gods and idols. All of these things that describe them, but they can't. Aren't you glad this morning that God has a mouth and he speaks? God has eyes and he can see you. God has ears and he can hear you. God has hands and he can touch you. A song that the Gaithers wrote and sing, "He touched me, and oh, the glory that floods my soul. Something happened. He touched me and made me whole." The touch of God. We all know how important a human touch is. How, when somebody touches you. But a divine touch. The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus said, "Somebody touch me." Well, the disciples said, "Well, a lot of people touched you. Look at the crowd around you." But there was something different, something special about that touch. Something special about the touch of God. And God can touch your life. God can touch my life. He has all of these attributes, all of these that he sees, hears, speaks. He feels where you are. God then emphasizes the truth about himself. If you look at these verses that we read, God said that he created the heavens. He fashioned them. And he formed them to be inhabited. He formed them for mankind to inhabit. He formed them for mankind to inhabit, that he would have fellowship, that he would walk with them and talk with them. He said, the Bible says that I will be their God and they will be my people. He wants fellowship. He desires fellowship with each one of us. That's why we were created, to fellowship. God says, "I didn't speak in secret. I declared openly. I publicly made declarations. I publicly spoke." He said, "And I didn't tell Jacob's descendants to seek me in vain." God didn't say, "Seek me in vain." He said, "Seek me that we would be able to find him." The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." If we seek him, we will find him. We'll find him to be whatever we're seeking him for. Joy, strength, deliverance, forgiveness, whatever you have need of, we seek him. Sometimes we seek miracles and we bypass the miracle worker. But we need to seek the miracle worker. We need to seek him. We need to fix our eyes on him. And he will touch and he will change our lives. In Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, it says that everything I plan will come to pass. I do whatever I wish. I have said what I will do, and I will do it. Simply put, basically what God is saying, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. And may that be true with us. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Sometimes we have, maybe you've told that to your child one time. Listen to me. I'm saying what I mean. Listen to what I'm telling you. So we mean what we say. I say what I mean. But all that God says, all that God does is for the honor and glory of his name. All that God does. In Psalm 138, 2, it says, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. All the honor of your name. All God's promises are backed by that. By the honor of the name of God. His words and his works are backed by his integrity, his faithfulness, and honesty. When God makes a promise, he means it. It's not just idle talk. If he made a promise and broke it, he would be no different than any other human being. But God is different. God is holy. God is divine. In Psalm 145:14, it reads, the Lord always keeps his promise. In Psalm 146:6, we find he keeps every promise forever. He keeps every promise that he made forever. His promises are as good as his unchanging character. Therefore, God can be completely trusted. In the Message Bible, in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about this very thing, about how God, his promises are irrevocable. He will not take them back. They're never changing. And he says, the writer in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. When God wanted to back his promises, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. A promise made, Abraham stuck it out. Does that describe us? Does that describe us when it comes to prayer? Does that describe us when waiting on an answer to prayer? Does that describe us that as I find a promise and I'm praying and I find a promise and I know what the Bible says, that God hears, God answers prayer, God is faithful to his promises. His promises are unchangeable. God is a God of integrity and honesty and faithfulness. We know all of that. But what happens in the time where we have to wait? We just read there from the Message Bible that Abraham stuck it out. Do we do that? Do we have enough determination? Do we have enough commitment to stick it out? God, I know what your word says. I'm not seeing any change. I'm not seeing any difference. I'm not even feeling any difference, but I believe what your word says. We as a denomination used to refer to the Bible as God's inerrant word. That means there's absolutely no error in it. This book, this holy book, is still the inerrant word of God. There is still absolutely no error in this book. This book is absolute truth. And on this truth, we can stand, because God's promises are from beginning to end. And as the people of God, we can stand on it. And we have to be determined that even though I do not see anything happening now, there's a song that says, even though I don't feel you're working, that you're working. Even though I don't see you working, you're working. Even though I don't see it or even though I don't feel it, I must believe that God is working on my behalf or on your behalf. I must stand on that. That must be my rock solid foundation. That God said it, God declared it, and I believe it. God proved faithful to Israel in fulfilling every promise he made to them. Some took several years to fulfill, but everything he promised came true. Everything that he promised came true. Back in 1 Kings, as I've been reading through some of the Old Testament, and I just came across this here this past week, and it fits in so beautifully in the 1 Kings chapter 8. When Solomon had built the temple and the palace, and they had a dedication service to the temple, Solomon was praying and declaring the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And he says in verse 56, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses." And may I interject something here? My own belief, and you may disagree, and if you do, that's perfectly fine. But we just read that not one word has failed of the promises he gave through his servant Moses. Now, if God takes those promises serious, that he spoke through a human being, and not one of those promises failed, I would conclude that every promise he made through Jesus Christ, his son, he would also prove faithful. Every promise that Jesus Christ declared, every promise that God made through Jesus Christ, I can stand on. You can stand on. Because he is a God of integrity. He is a God of faithfulness. He is a God that is trustworthy. All the honor of his name goes into these promises. If God said it, I believe it. Even though I may not see it, I believe it. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. That was a part of Solomon's dedication prayer. And as we talked about years or making time, or there's a lapse of time between promise given and that manifestation. It was 25 years from the time God promised Abraham a son to Isaac's birth. 25 years. Some of us have a problem waiting 25 minutes, 25 days, 25 hours, whatever it is. 25 years. But if you read Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham, Abraham simply believed that what God promised, he was able to do. That's a relatively simple statement, isn't it? Abraham believed that God was able to do what he said. Are we of that same faith? Are we at that same place in our life? That I believe what God said, he's able to do. We're still praying about things. We're still praying about situations. We're still praying about issues that we're facing, we're challenging. I told the first service, Martha and I have been praying about some issues. And we aren't seeing anything. Nothing is changing. And do you ever notice sometimes when you pray, things get worse? Or is it just me? Things get worse. And are we going to stick it out as Abraham did? But we must be more determined than ever to push on, to push through. There may be obstacles. There may be things that would hinder and keep us from touching the hem of Jesus' garment. But we have to be determined to push through the crowd, push through the noise, push through the stuff to get to the hem of the garment, to reach out and touch Jesus. Or do we have that fortitude? Do we have that determination? I can guarantee you we're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on trusting. We're going to keep on believing. God has made a promise, and that promise will never be revoked. It may take time, but are we willing to put in time? Integrity and honesty is what we want in those who are called, appointed, elected to any leadership position. I believe, and I'm not going to get political, but I believe that Washington, D.C. needs more integrity. It needs more honesty. Even the church, people walk in integrity. Are these just words that we throw around once in a while? Oh, they sound nice. Integrity, man, that sounds nice. You know, that's not a 25-cent word. That's like a $5 word. Well, integrity, yeah. Honesty, yeah. We need more of that. We need more of that. And that's why we as a people, as Christians, need to be praying for America. It's still a great nation. A lot of good people. A lot of people need the Lord. That's a song that Steve Green used to sing. Some of you may not even know who Steve Green is, but he sings a song, "People Need the Lord." People need the Lord. You needed the Lord, I needed the Lord, and I still need him every day. But we need the Lord. We need integrity. We need honesty. We need faithfulness. We need trustworthiness back into Washington, D.C., and even into the church. God also asks that of us, integrity. Sometimes we push God out. Sometimes we keep God at bay. Allison, in her prayer, was quoting Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water of the brook, so our soul longs for you." Do you have a burning desire for a move of God in your life? Do we have a burning desire for God to move in our midst? Is that what we really want? Or do we just like things the way they are? Que sera, sera. Or do we want God not just to visit, but to come and inhabit us? We cannot push God out of things. We must invite him in. We must open the doors and invite God in, into my home, into my life, into the church, into the nation. And we're slowly drifting as a people. We're slowly drifting from what this book stands for, what this book declares. We were watching Hallmark Christmas movies yesterday. Christmas in July. Hallmark Christmas movie in July. What could happen? And it did. I was shocked. Two of the same sex. I turned it off. What are we becoming? We can't ignore God and then want the blessings of God. We cannot shut God out and just dangle something up. God, give me three wishes. He's not a genie in a lamp. If we do this, if we allow God and invite God in and pray and seek him, we can then expect the blessings of God. But if we shut him out and say, "God, you know, I'm okay the way I am, we're doing okay," God will let you go. God will let you go. God will let me go. But we can't. We need to be people of integrity. And God spoke here in chapter 9 of 1 Kings And God said, verse 1 says, when Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And you know, the first time that Solomon had a dream and God appeared to him, and God said, Solomon, what would you like me to do for you? What would you like me to give you? Solomon thought and thought and thought, and he said, God, give me wisdom that I may lead this great mass of people. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to lead this vast number of people in the way it should be led. Give me wisdom to do that. And God said, Solomon, since you asked for wisdom and did not ask for riches and wealth, since you did not ask for victories over all your enemies, I am going to give you wisdom, plus I'm going to give you everything else you did not ask for. Wow. Now God is appearing to him the second time. God's speaking to Solomon. I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Now, here is the clinker. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all that I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. God says, Solomon, if you do this, if you walk in integrity and uprightness before me, obey what I tell you, obey my decrees, my laws, my commands. If you do that, this is what I'm going to do. But that little two-letter word in there, if, that connects or disconnects everything. If my people humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. God is telling Solomon, if you meet my condition, this is what I'll do. Sometimes we throw it back on God. God, if you meet my conditions, this is what I'll do. God didn't play that game. But God does say, if you do this, you walk in integrity and uprightness before me, follow my commands, and I'll give you the ability and strength to do that. If you do this, this is what I'm going to do for you, Solomon. I am going to establish your royal throne forever. Now, you may not be elevated to a king or queen or whatever, but God, our conditions, God is saying, if you meet my conditions, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I promised to do. I read this statement. It's a very short statement talking about leaders. It says, great leaders bring the blessings of God. Great leaders bring the blessings of God. And you can go through the Bible and see the godly leaders and how the nation of Israel was blessed. And even today, leaders, great leaders bring the blessings of God. Solomon writes in Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let us, as followers and believers of Jesus Christ, take to heart the words God spoke to Solomon. If you walk and live in integrity and uprightness, this is what I'll do. Let us be determined and committed to walk before the Lord God in honesty, integrity, to please and to honor him, to glorify him. We have a lot to be thankful for in this country. We have a lot to pray about in this country. But thanks be to God that we have a God that walks in integrity and honesty. God tells it like it is. We may not like it, and we have a choice to walk away from it or hold fast to it. I choose today to hold fast to the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your presence today. We are so grateful for your love and your compassion. We're so grateful for grace this morning. And Father, we just thank you so much for your presence here today. Thank you for being a God that can save. Thank you for being a God that has integrity and honesty and is so trustworthy. And God, may we endeavor, God, to model you and who you are. Knowing, God, if we walk in integrity and uprightness before you, the conditions will be met for your promises. So, Father, we thank you today. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen.